Did you say pleased as piss?
Yes, I did.
Is that a Chinese translation? What does that mean?
No, it's actually, I know it from an Alkaline Trio song.
I'm a big fan of the Alkaline Trio.
Yeah, me too. Got the old heart and skull tattoo on my arm.
Oh, that's right, you too.
Yeah, from back in the day when I was super punk rock.
That and Lucky Boys Confusion, were you really into them too?
No, I don't know what that is. That sounds like either before or after my time.
No, they like toured with Alkaline. All right.
My anyway, go-to move was listening to Hawthorne Heights and crying.
Oh, God.
That was my high school days.
And this has been your punk emo hour with Keaton, Patrick, and Adam.
Welcome to Dynasty's Child.
We're not recording.
We are recording.
Oh, well.
Hosted by Patrick Magnus.
Look at yourself in the mirror, you're a goddamn mess.
Featuring Keaton DeRocher.
Cut everything after he praised me.
And featuring Jake Devereaux.
He wants everybody to know that he has a very impressive package.
Produced by Adam Lawler.
Hey, you guys. Hey, everybody.
Start over.
Yep, why don't you try that one more time?
Brought to you by the Dynasty Guru.
What's a good launch angle?
What's a good launch angle?
What's a good launch angle?
Yeah, what's a good launch angle?
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Dynasty's Child, your flagship fantasy baseball podcast for the Dynasty Guru, with a focus on Dynasty formats. I am your fill-in host again, Keaton DeRocher. Patrick is again on the pod, but he's having internet issues, so I'm going to host so he doesn't have too much to worry about. So, Patrick, how are you surviving over there, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Frustrated with my internet, but other than that, you know, what can I say? Living in a communist country is what it is.
All right, well, yeah, filling in for Jake, who was all tuckered out this weekend from all his potting during the week, so he had to tap out, is Adam Lawler, our wonderful producer man. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Dank. Doing real dank. Good. You?
I'm not quite dank, but I'm feeling it. All right. Tonight we're gonna go over some opening weekend reactions to this wonderful game of baseball. And we are going to kick off our top pod spec segment with some wonderful prospects for you to keep an eye on. And then we will go over some listener questions. We got a bunch for this pod, so thank you, the listeners, for that.
Oh, wait. Before we even get to maintenance and reminders, I noticed that there was a new review for us on iTunes. Did you guys notice that?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. Nice gentleman by the name of Seth, I believe, left us a very nice review. And I just want to say, hey, Seth. Thanks, guy.
Hey, Seth. Thanks, man. Thanks, Seth.
Seth, you're the man.
Should we read it?
Yeah, I mean, if you got it up.
Sure. One moment.
Special shout out to Seth. You're my boy, Seth.
You're my boy, Seth. Seth.
Yeah. Bless up to Seth.
It's titled Great Dynasty Podcast. I really like these guys and their podcasts. I listen to four or five different Dynasty podcasts, and they are right up there with the best. The fact that they stay pretty consistent with releasing new podcasts is a huge plus. You know what? We actually do put a lot of effort into that, so yeah. For calling that out.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Seth.
As we've just struggled with me even connecting to this podcast for the last, I don't know, half hour at least. Yeah, very much appreciated. Consistency is our thing. We may not be great, but we're pretty consistent.
Yeah. We're like a middle-aged slugger who's always good for those 20 homers and nothing else.
My favorite type of player.
You're right. That fits us well.
We are the Corey Dickerson of fantasy podcasts.
There you go.
I'll take that. I like C-Dick.
Somewhat hobbled most of the time, but always pretty consistent.
Maintenance and reminders. Any questions or any other comps that you would like to attribute to us, you can submit those via Twitter at Dynasty's Child or via email, dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. And much like Seth did, go give us a five-star rate and review on iTunes or wherever else your listening platform is.
Yeah, do it.
Please.
We triple dog dare you.
I will say, we triple dog dare you is, how do you say no to that?
You can't
say no to triple dog dare.
Yeah, stop being such a little baby about it and just go do it already.
I feel like that's too aggressive. Don't you feel like you're being a little too aggressive to our poor listeners? They're nice people. They're going to go leave us a nice review.
There's got to be a good cop, bad cop here, right? Like,
all right, yeah.
Respond right. Differently to different things.
Gotcha.
It was
gotcha.
More aggro than the aggro crag, though, so maybe just like a scotch lower. Transactions. Signings. We have ourselves some wonderful extensions, and by some I mean one since the last 100,000 of them. Jake DeGrom got his in just in under the wire at the beginning of the season. Thankfully, the Mets listened to Syndergaard and just paid the man 5-year, $137.5 million extension. Guys, what's your reaction to? Let's start with Adam. What is your reaction to DeGrom and a big old contract?
Well, he went out and rewarded them almost right away by pitching a gem of a game versus Max Scherzer for the opener. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk. I ranked him the number one pitcher in Dynasty this year when we did our offseason ranks. He's so good, and he is going to be there. He is not the type of player that I'm worried about breaking. I think of him as like just, and it's weird to say because he's 30, but I think of him as just the next young Justin Verlander. And he's going to be there for you for a long time.
That's a pretty good comp.
Yes. 10 strikeouts. That's so good to start the year. What more can you ask for?
Yeah. And like you, Adam, I also ranked him number one. He's just in my opinion, the best pitcher in baseball, for Dynasty. And yeah, I think the Mets were smart. Noah Syndergaard was smart. Pay the man. Now you've got him. And you know, was no Chris Sale outing he had there on opening day.
He was a little bit more successful.
Yeah.
We did have a couple of trades as well. Kendrys Morales traded to Oakland to completely replace the first baseman who broke his hand. Is there any fantasy relevance to that? Are we excited about that? Do we think that's...
Nope.
All right, cool.
I mean, it's fine. I don't know. I don't remember the guy who broke his hand, but Kendrys Morales is pretty good. So maybe he'll take his job. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it means Kendrys Morales is going to Oakland, correct? Sorry.
Yep.
So that means that Barreto's got demoted. So that is kind of a big deal. Barreto getting demoted is sad because I think he's going to be a fun player to watch. I've kind of turned the corner on him, lowered my expectations for what I expect him to be, and was really hoping to get to see him play more.
So does that mean that Olsen didn't go on the 60-day to free up that roster spot?
I don't think he did. The last news I saw was that Barreto sent down.
I did see Barreto sent down, which was surprising. No. Olsen, was it the
Olsen
result?
Didn't go to the 60, man. Or 60-day.
Oh. Well, there you go. You're right. That is probably why. Yeah, that is a bummer.
But we'll see. You know, once Olsen returns in his glorious fashion, we'll see what happens to the roster.
I mean, Chapman's been dinged up, and I mean, Profar hasn't always been the exemplary consistency. They have some places where if Morales needed to sit in at DH, he could, and they could do worse. They didn't give up anything for him. So, hey, you need a bat to hold you over. Morales is worth a flyer.
I do agree with that. Tom Murphy was traded to Seattle from San Francisco, and will back up Omar Narvaez there in Seattle. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Does that mean anything to you guys?
No, that one does not.
I have a thing for Tom Murphy. It's just, I want him to do so well. and he's not, and I don't know. I don't know. He was cut by, or he was placed on waivers by the Rockies. He was picked up by the Giants. I thought maybe he would stick around there, but then they summarily traded him like within a day to Seattle. And I mean,
he's not good, Adam.
Keaton Lysome on his eyes. Hey, he went 1-for-2 tonight with a walk.
My goodness. Wow. Like, congratulations, but he's not good. He's not good at baseball. And you need to
look at baseball.
I'm not good at baseball, but I don't need to play it. And I'm certainly not fantasy relevant, so.
The offensive prowess for Murphy's always been there. It's just been the defensive capabilities have always been in question, like super suspect. So maybe he catches on there and maybe Seattle gives him some run. I mean,
but like, has he always been this like offensive force? He's been scouted and touted as this like offensive catcher, but he's never put it together at the major league level. Like,
he's never had the chance. Like, what are we looking at? We're talking about the Rockies here, who wanted to bench Garrett Hampson this year and have dicked around with Ryan McMahon and like Ramel Tapia. Like, David Dahl's taken like 6 years to actually get some playing time. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, I just don't believe in him as a player. We'll see. Do you think he gets any playing time in Seattle?
No, he started today. I mean, he's been there for 2 days and he's had one start. So I don't know. We'll see. And
Omar Narvaez is dope, though.
Yeah, and Omar Narvaez is pretty dope.
Yeah.
This concludes our Tom Murphy talk.
Colorado Rockies traded Mike Tauchman to New York, the Yankees, for Philip Deal. That means nothing to me too. It was a slow start to the season. Kimbrel and Keuchel are still out there. Sign him.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fourth outfielder for the Yankees. That's relatively interesting to a point. I think it's just worth noting because there are people out there like Alex Chamberlain who are huge on Mike Tauchman and just feel like he needs the opportunity to get actually get some playing time. So there was a tweet that was sent around by Katie Sharp at KT Sharp. And she said, three players at AA and AAA last year had at least a 240 ISO and a K percentage below 15% with a minimum of 250 plate appearances. It was Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Jeff McNeil, and Mike Tauchman. So, I mean, again, there are worse players out there to take flyers on if you're in a 16-team or deeper, a fourth outfielder who's performed at some level. Maybe he catches fire.
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe fuck yourself.
I have to agree with Keaton on this. Strong endorsement of Keaton.
Great. And this concludes our Mike Tauchman conversation.
Yeah, some promotions. Some dudes that cracked the opening day roster that maybe we weren't expecting to. First up, Fernando Tatis Jr. That's wonderful.
Yeah, hooray. Although there was that Twitter spat, let's just, I guess, gloss over that. That was ridiculous.
Let's not gloss over it for a second. Let's, anybody who's listening that was a part of that, grow up. Just grow up. Grow up.
Excuse me. Okay, well, grow up. But also, I'm stoked to see him play every day. That team is fun and young, and I think, you know, maybe they've got a shot at the playoffs this year. We'll see. But yeah, Tatis, what are we expecting? 20 home runs?
I'm thinking 310, 55 bombs, 175 RBIs, and 66 steals.
All right. That's a little higher than me. I was thinking more like 250, 20 homers, maybe 20 steals.
Yeah, so I don't remember who it was, but somebody out there on the Twitters, maybe Smata, looked at the projections and tossed out like Tim Anderson's production.
Yep, yeah,
that's... You can expect that out of him this year. That seems pretty reasonable and pretty good.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive, but I mean, it's basically what I just said, so yeah, I'm all for it.
Adam, thoughts besides growing up?
No, everybody's, you guys are all on board, yeah. Fernando Tatis Jr. is supposedly good, so... Yeah. I mean, I'm skeptical, but no, I'm actually just screwing around. He's going to be great. 2020 sounds fantastic. If he hits 250, I'd be surprised. I might fade it a little bit, but I think that they've planned since Manny was signed that he was going to break with the team. So he's definitely going to get run. It doesn't look like he'll get demoted. So just plan on him being there and getting the full slate of at-bats.
Yep. Where are we on the hair?
Bad.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's not good. No, it's not. It's really bad.
It's poor man Lindor. It's like,
but longer. Yeah. It's longer.
Gross.
Yeah. All right. Rowdy Tellez. Looks like he's finally going to get some run there with the Jays because he got called up. Patrick, he seems right up your alley.
He is. He is indeed. Ian and I own him in TDGX, and we're excited about him. He's a big, beefy boy. I'm curious as to what kind of playing time he's going to get, although with the movement of Morales played for the... Good God. This is really hard to do without anything to reference.
Yeah, Morales did play for the Blue Jays.
Okay, so that means that the DH spot isn't clogged up, and Smoke and Tellez can get enough at bats. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in Tellez in deeper leagues. I don't think his prospect shine has lost some of its allure, but I expect him to hit bombs.
So, would you start him in your lineup in a six teamer?
Six, as in six, just six?
Yep.
No.
How about six? Eight?
No.
Ten?
What's happening?
yes. No.
12?
No.
15?
How many?
15.
Maybe. Utility.
16?
Utility.
Yeah, no. 20. If there's an MI in this 15 or 16, I'm definitely and util. I'm definitely having him on board.
Yeah, but not first base starting. Like he'll be your first baseman in like 18, I would say.
All right, glad you finally got to that mark. All right, Peter Alonso and Dom Smith both made the opening day lineup. And Alonso, I've seen him get more runs so far in the first couple of games than Dom Smith, which is probably how it should be. But hey. Peter Alonso's there, so that's great news.
Oh, and he's so sexy. He smoked the ball today. Strasburg was pitching, and I forget what the announcer exactly said, but when he smoked a shot off the wall, the announcer's like, they're going to have to hold the wall up because he thought that he knocked it over. I mean, it was just, he's been hitting the hell out of the ball, and he's hitting in the two hole. So, like, yep, I'm on board. Give me all of it. All of them.
All right. I'm going to run through the injuries, and then we'll loop back and we'll talk about one of your choice. Justin Upton is out 8 to 12 weeks. Corey Knebel's getting the TEJ. Hunter Strickland's got himself a lat strain. Sean Manaea is ahead of schedule in his Tommy John return. And should be back on the All-Star break. Good news there. Andrew Heaney is going for an elbow exam. That doesn't look good. And Daniel Murphy today fractured a finger. He's out for a significant amount of time. So maybe Ryan McMahon in the wilderness and Garrett Hampson will get some playing time there in Colorado. Adam, which one of those would you like to talk about?
I would like to discuss... Well, I guess I'll talk about Daniel Murphy. I mean, to me, everybody was getting very excited about him. And... I think that there was good reason with Colorado being the way it is, but Daniel Murphy has not been the perfect picture of health. So maybe Garrett Hampson finally gets some run. Everybody was really big on him. I think you're right. I think that, but I honestly think that McMahon's going to end up moving over to second and Desmond's going to move to first base. And they're going to let maybe Raimel Tapia get some run. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it out. Murphy, I wish we should have asked Dr. Mike before we started recording, but I mean, it's probably going to be a few weeks, but there shouldn't be any long-term impact on his health or that fractured finger moving ahead. He was able to stay in the game after he fractured it. So maybe he's out for a couple weeks and he comes back and he's all good and he puts up some spectacular numbers. Or maybe Garrett Hampson just shines him out. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm not too bummed about Daniel Murphy and I'm not fading him too hard.
I think a lot of people took chances on Murphy thinking they'd get a steal this year. Hopefully you're right. We definitely need to have Dr. Mike on. There's been so many injuries. But yeah, I think, you know, this opens up playing time for Tapia and consistent playing time for Hampson. I think that McMahon had already locked up the time. And I'm really high on him for this year. I think that there's something there. I think he's finally developed to a point where he's going to be really useful on any fantasy team. I know that I'm starting him in a 12 team, so pretty shallow.
Patrick, which one of those injuries would you like to talk about?
So Justin Upton is going to be out 8 to 12 weeks. That's a bummer. He's always been such an inconsistent player. I never end up owning him. You know, just like generally most of the leagues I play in are head-to-head. Like, I know that he's a solid bet in Roto because he finishes with the same numbers pretty much every year. But in head-to-head leagues, he's such a headache that I never, ever, ever end up owning him. This means that Peter Borges is probably going to get the playing time. This is where, like, the Angels' lack of depth really starts to come into play. You know, there could have been a chance here for a Joe Adell sighting if he wasn't slowed in the spring with injuries. But that's not likely to happen now, I don't think. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Peter Borges and Brian Goodwin. So that's garbage and not relevant.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. Before I get into the injury that I just want to talk about, if you guys had to guess which team led the National League in steals last year, what would be your guess?
The Nationals?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Nationals.
Milwaukee. Milwaukee led the National League in steals. Was that the last team that you would have guessed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lorenzo Cain and Yelich, and I mean, they're pretty speedy. And Lando Arcia is not good on the base pass, but he can be serviceable. I wouldn't sell them too short, but no, I wouldn't put them in the top three.
Yeah, that was surprising to see. But anyway, so that I want to talk about Corey Knebel getting Tej. So in the first save chance that we saw with them, they let Hader go six outs to get the save. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that and see if that is a common thing where Hader ends up taking the bulk of the back end outs. We know that he can go multiple innings as he was brought up throughout as a starter and did it several times last year as well. It'll be interesting to see how often they go for six outs, though. That seems a tad aggressive. But it'll also be interesting to see if they don't use him to close out the ninth to lock down the save, who they end up going to with Knebel out, and currently Jeffries is hurt. So it probably would make sense for them to sign Kimbrel. Who knows? But we'll see how that plays out. Do either of you guys have a guess at how that goes? Is it Hader or somewhere else?
I think it's going to be Hader and Albers will split it up. And then you have Alex Claudio lurking around who's closed before. So maybe they get some saves here and there. Hader can't do the two-inning thing. I mean, he barely escaped on that first time through. But if they want to do like one inning of Hader closing out games or one in a third, that's fine, but he should not be doing the two inning save model. I don't think he can withstand that.
See, I disagree. I mean, I think they can push him as much as they can. He did multiple innings last year. What's the difference between, you know, this year and last year for you? Because he had success doing it last year. So why are you skeptical this year?
I don't think he was as good as he was last year. I think that he's good. I think he's elite, but I don't think he's that good. And so, I mean, like, look at Raisel Iglesias, right? He was a player that everybody thinks is a great multi-inning reliever, and he struggled, and he's continued to struggle when it comes to that two-inning closeout thing. I mean, it's not that he's incapable. It's just that it's a little more worrisome to me. I don't know. Maybe it's a mental tick.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen players fall off the cliff from this sort of usage. Like Dylan Betances was a multi-relief guy for a while, but it took years to kind of wear him out. And I think that Hader can be a legit elite multi-inning guy for a few years. I think the difference between you and I is how good we think Hader is. I'm at the top of the Hader hype fan club. So
how many innings do you think he's going to wrap up? So he pitched 80 last year. Do you see that as kind of his range again this season, even with the multi-inning outings. It seems like if he's going to end up being the closer, giving him, you know, sending him out there for 4, 5, 6 outs consistently is going to ramp that up to probably closer to 100 innings, right. And that seems unsustainable.
Right. I think he can get to 100 innings.
Well,
I know that's crazy, but I think he can get to about 100 innings and or at least close. I know it's pushing it. I know it's pushing it for a reliever to get 100 innings, but I think he can do it.
2016, he got to 126 in the minors. And since then, he only got 52 in 2017, 81, 2018, 3 so far this year. I don't know. 100 seems like a stretch, but maybe he can.
You know what I think he could do? He could probably pitch the 7th and 8th and then watch Craig Kimbrell pitch the 9th and win a bunch of games that way if Milwaukee would just pay them. That's what he could do.
You're right.
There's a lot of pressure on Milwaukee's front office right now. Like, I don't know how they get away with not signing Kimbrell.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. We're done with that piece. Live action reactions. Chris Sale, he got roughed up quite a bit. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button on that just yet, but his fastball topped out at 94 and was hit all over the park, so that's something to keep an eye on as we go.
His slider velo was way down. That's what scared me. His slider velo was a lot lower than it had been in the past.
See, I was really nervous about the fact that he, I don't think he generated any swinging strikes with his fastball.
Yeah, same. I was more concerned about the fastball, but you know what? That just shows there's actually a lot of red flags that popped up in this outing. Granted, it's early, and you know, we'll see how his next couple outings go, but it wasn't typical. It's not like John Lester, where Lester has a just god-awful April, and then he's a stud the rest of the year. Sale hasn't really had that problem, so for him to come up and throw a stinker right off the bat, I think it's not time to hit the panic button yet, but there were some little red flags that popped up throughout that outing.
Yeah, I think that there's enough, like, I'm worried. I own him in a lot of leagues, and I am worried because because there's more weight to it because of how he ended last year, as Adam will tell you. there's more weight here considering the previous performance, you know, how he left things off last year. Granted, he came in and closed out the World Series, but he wasn't Chris Sale. He just was not Chris Sale when he came back off the DL last year.
And the three of us, we do a little write-up ditty called the Triple Play, and Adam had a fine write-up on Chris Sale. So if you are concerned, sure, or not concerned, you should go read it either way.
Well, well.
Agreed.
Well, look how the tables have turned. He's going to be fine, probably. I don't know. Probably. Maybe not.
Talk about German Marquez, Adam.
Oh, man. All right. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the German Marquez Hour. I'll be your host, Adam Waller. I just want to take a minute to talk to you about German Marquez, who is the mid-90s Reese Witherspoon equivalent of beautiful, attractive starting pitcher for fantasy. In my life, yes, he pitched against the Miami Marlins, and yes, they are bad, but what do you want from him? You know, like, it's not his fault that he had to pitch against a bad team. And you know what he did? He dominated. He absolutely dominated. 92 pitches, 14 swinging strikes, 15 called strikes. Yeah, he walked the leadoff batter, but he settled down. That fastball got right with God, and his stuff just moved all over the place. He was salsa, samba. He was everything, and I'm a little worried about the free passes. I got a little worried with the hit batsman, but it's gonna be fine. Over the past 14 starts, Marquez has posted a 2.20 ERA and 125 strikeouts in 94 innings. He's an ace. Come get it.
So are you trying to say that Reese Witherspoon isn't still a smoke?
No, she absolutely is. But I mean, mid to late 90s, Reese Witherspoon was peak Reese Witherspoon. I still think that Marquez is going to be a smoke show at 28 and 29. But right now, he is at the height of his, at the peak of his powers.
I think she's been a consistent smoke in my book.
I mean, I'm putting the comp out there because it's important, right? Like, I see him as Reese Witherspoon to me.
There we go. I think that's really what the heart of this is.
Patrick, talk about Domingo Santana.
Hey, Domingo Santana has been good. He's whiffing quite a bit, but, you know, that's what he's going to do. But I am excited for the revival of Domingo Santana.
Right now, he's striking out at about almost 30%. So, but like I said, that's kind of with the territory with Santana. And he's not going to sustain the success that he's had so far if he continues this approach. You know what his launch angle is right now? Obviously, super small sample size, but take a guess.
32.
It's 30.
Whoa.
And he's been barreling. This is just funny just because it's such small samples. He's got one barreled ball right now. Anyways, I don't know. I'm interested to see what Santana is going to continue to do. He hits the ball hard. He's patient at the plate. He brings power and speed. I think he can be an OF2, OF3. And he's batting right in the middle of Seattle's lineup. So yeah, I'm pleased as pissed about this. It's freaking awesome. And I can't wait to watch more Santana.
So you don't think a 6'11 ISO is sustainable over a full season?
I don't think that that's sustainable. Nor do I think, what's his current batting average?
389.
Yeah, no, that's not sustainable either.
14.3% walk rate though is pretty impressive, and that doesn't seem like it's really out of the realm of possibility.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, I think his value is in OBP leagues for sure, but the speed is going to make him valuable in Roto too, just the counting stats too, batting in the middle of the order. Yeah, I think there's lots to love in Domingo Santana. And he's only 26 years old, so if you held on, good for you.
Did you say pleased as piss?
Yes, I did.
Is that a Chinese translation? What does that mean?
No, it's actually, I know it from an Alkaline Trio song.
I'm
really
a big
my
fan own. Of the Alkaline Trio.
Yeah, me too. Got the old heart and skull tattoo on my arm.
Oh, that's right, you do.
Yeah, from back in the day when I was super punk rock.
That and Lucky Boys Confusion, were you really into them too?
No, I don't know what that is. That sounds like either before or after my time.
No, they like toured with Alkaline. All right, anyway.
My go-to move was listening to Hawthorne Heights and crying.
Oh, God.
That was my high school days.
And this has been your punk emo hour with Keaton, Patrick, and Adam.
The Dodgers and the Arizona Diamondbacks are having themselves a home run derby. That has been a very entertaining series if you've been watching it. Also along those lines, Bryce Harper went hitless in his first game as a Philly, and he got booed. And then today he hit a homer and got a curtain call. So Phillies fans are in mid-season form.
They are bipolar, those guys. Those fans are up and down. It wasn't just the home run, though, man. He fucking crushed that ball. He destroyed it. It was a fun home run to see. So I thought he deserved the curtain call. Especially after being booed.
I mean, let's just be real. Anybody from Philadelphia that's a Phillies fan, you guys need to cool it on the curtain calls, okay? It's game two. And you gave Rhys Hoskins a curtain call yesterday after his grand slam. So everybody just needs to relax. It's a long season.
No way. Let's do more curtain calls. I'm all for it. I agree with you. More curtain calls, please.
More curtain calls, more bat flips.
Mm-hmm.
More case struts.
More UC Kikuchi showing up the umpires. I'm all about that.
I love him. I went out and I tried to get as many shares of him as I could. And I am so happy that I did. He's a blast.
Did you watch his game last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played the Red Sox.
He wanted a strikeout. He wanted a strikeout call or whatever, and the ump didn't give it to him, and he fucking stomped around on the mound. It was so awesome. I was like, oh, you're my new favorite. I love him.
I want to see more of that. Like, I want more K-struts from pitchers. I want more bat flips. Like, screw all the old curmudgeons playing the game the right way. Like, I want as much disrespect as possible in the league. It's just so much fun.
Oh my God, speaking my language, Keaton, that's what I'm talking about. As much disrespect as possible. Love it. Kikuchi's got that great delivery too. The little funky sort of like deception that behind the leg.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right, so now moving on to the top pod specs.
Wait, before we move on from Kikuchi.
Or not.
What do you think he, SP what?
2.
Adam?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm in line with that as well.
Top pod specs, robots in disguise. All right, kicking off our top pod specs for 2019. This is the first episode, so we don't have to discount anybody. New for this year, though, last year we tried to stay out of the top 50. This year we're challenging ourselves, and we're staying outside the top 100. So, here we go. Patrick, let's start with you so we can get yours out of the way.
Great. Sounds good. So I picked Luis Toribio. He is third baseman for the San Francisco Giants, and he's a young kid. He's 19. He's a power-hitting lefty, and he has got a really advanced approach at the plate. Last year in the DSL, he managed to strike out 62 times, but he walked 51 times. That's in 215 at-bats, and he batted 270. And the impressive part was the 10 home runs from a 19-year-old kid. I'm super excited about this guy. I think he's pretty much a must-own in most dynasty leagues. I think he's going to climb the ladder quickly this offseason. I don't know where Jesse had him ranked, but I'm going to assume it's well outside the top 100.
I don't have the list.
Okay, never mind. So we'll just assume that I'm correct. Thanks, Adam. So from what I know about him, also from like some of the what I've seen and what I've read, is that he is the worry for him is on defense. The bat is advanced for his age. The defense, because he doesn't have much of an arm and his range is limited. So he's going to have to work on that if he's going to make it to the majors. But by all accounts, I really think that the bat is something to dream on. And he's a flyer worth taking. One of those, you know, high risk, high reward guys that you have at the end of your farm.
He is not ranked in Jesse's top 500 fantasy prospects.
That's silly.
That's going way off the board there, Patrick.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, that's how I roll.
Wild card. Keaton, how about you go?
Sure. My guy, I have been gobbling up shares of this guy for pretty much all of last year. So now that I have a bunch of shares of him, I'll tell everybody else how much I like him too. Eric Pardino, starting pitcher in the Blue Jay system. We actually share a birthday. He's 18 years old, but don't be afraid because he actually debuted in the last World Baseball Classic and pitched a few innings, with had great success, racked up a bunch of strikeouts, and then came over to America and continue to just kind of dominate. 11.5 K per 9, 2.8 walks per 9, has very advanced control for his age, and just has two incredible 60-grade pitches, fastball and curveball, and with his advanced control really plays up. It's not a shock that he was eating up rookie ball last year, and at full A this season, he should, again, just continue to absolutely eat him up. It would not shock me if he's a quick mover, and in 2 years we see him in a Blue Jays rotation. Guy is just filthy.
And he is ranked number 159 in Jesse's top 500.
Boom.
I like it. So wait, what are the two plus pitches?
Curveball, fastball.
Okay, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
let's just take a quick aside here, really quick. For when it comes to fantasy prospects for pitchers, do either of you get a little hesitant when people talk about a changeup plus pitching prospect?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Me too. Me too. I get worried.
You need the wrinkle. I think the wrinkle is more important than the change. So give me a slider, give me a curveball. Yeah.
Intriguing, Keaton.
Yeah. I like him.
Adam, yeah, I like him too.
Who'd you bring to the table?
I'm bringing Detroit Tigers product Daz Cameron, the son of Mike Cameron, former White Sox extraordinaire. Plays the same position as his dad, which for you young kids out there, Keaton, is center field. He is a 21-year-old who has slowly risen through the Tiger system, but continues to sit among their top 10 prospects. He's likely going to make it to the big leagues later on this year. In AAA, it wasn't a great showing last year, but it was only over 62 plate appearances. So I'm willing to say you got a cup of coffee, it's going to get better. But in AA, which was his first time through, and he had a healthy amount of at-bats there, he posted a 124 DRC plus, which is pretty impressive when you think about it. And I would say that he is somebody that's going to be around for a while. Will he have prodigious power? No, probably not. Will he have elite speed? No, probably not. But he is a 15-15 guy at the height of everything, and he could be plus if he really puts it together. The only question mark has always been his hit tool, but I think that he's kind of quelled those fears over the last couple of years with what he's produced. And he was in the Arizona Fall League this past year, this last fall. He hit 342, 435, 468. So that's pretty good. I'm on board. I'm taking him in teams that are 16 teams and deeper, and thinking about him as a flyer in those anything greater than 14. But he's definitely somebody that'll be playable in 16 teams or deeper, and he will be up starting this year. He is number 111 on Jesse's top 500.
You hit a real soft spot for me with that one. I love Daz Cameron. I think he is going to be a joy to watch.
He looks fun loving. Like, he just looks like a fun guy. Like, he has those big glasses like his dad has. And he normally carries around like a big chain. He looks like a, and I know that this isn't great to say, but he looks like a ball player.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. I love the pieces too, and the plate discipline. That's going to be my vote, Keaton. I'm sorry, that's my vote, Daz Cameron. One thing I want to say about my guy too that I forgot to mention was that he was actually 17 last year when he hit those 10 home runs, not 18, because he turned 18 into September. So I just wanted to I know nobody's voting for my guy, but I just wanted to remind people he was real young, hit a lot of home runs, and you should have him on your team. Okay.
How slow is he though? Because I want to know how on brand this is for you.
He had 4 steals, so not very on brand.
Ooh. It's not.
Ooh. Was he caught stealing like 12 times though?
Once.
Ooh.
Speedster. I don't
know, Patrick. I mean, if I'm taking a vote, it's probably going to be for Eric Pardino.
Yeah.
Just because he's, Keaton's hitting my soft spots there with the curveball and plus pitcher.
Eric Pardino is filthy, and although... Patrick, your guy is really intriguing, but I am going to go Daz Cameron. And even though Daz Cameron wins, you should go scoop up Eric Pardino.
Agreed. I mean, I think this is a solid first round and on brand probably for most of us.
We did it. We did our first pod spec.
Yeah,
Hey, do you want to tell the listeners what happens at the end of the year?
Sure. We take all of these compiled. Patrick, what did you do to this?
Patrick.
We take all of these wonderful pod specs and put them into a bracket. And then we let you, the listeners, vote on who the top pod spec of the year is, and then we tweet them and let them know that they won our bracket. So there we go. It's a wonderful thing for all of us.
What talk about listener engagement? Wow.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that.
We love our listeners. I love Seth.
Yeah, Seth. Hey, we love you, bud.
We love you, Seth.
We haven't heard from Meathead in a while. I feel like we...
Yeah, what's going on with you,
yeah,
Meathead?
Yeah, what's up with Meathead?
Step it up, Meathead.
He got into my dark tweet about being a baseball masochist the other day, so I think he's all right.
All right, good. Glad he's still around. Appreciate you, Meathead. Speaking of listener engagement, now we're going to wrap up with listener questions. First question is from Shelley. Who makes it to the major leagues first, and who do you have going forward? Joey Bart, Kiber Ruiz, or Zach Collins? I think due to opportunity, Zach Collins probably makes it to the major leagues first, and you guys already know I got Joey Bart for now and forever.
Yeah. Just copy and paste Keaton, basically. It's a little closer for me because I love Collins. But yeah, copy and paste.
So two separate questions is who makes it to the league first and who do you have going forward? I think Zach Collins makes it to the league first. And then I agree with Keaton and Patrick, Joey Bart going forward.
Bart!
That is the exact same thing that I said. Thanks for listening, Adam.
Wait, what?
Anytime you want to join the program. We're only like an hour into this.
Who?
AOK Tigers fan. Will San Diego trade Urias, or is he blocked forever? Well, he shouldn't be blocked by Ian Kinsler. So...
Yeah, that Kinsler contract is a mistake.
Isn't he blocked by Jose Perella?
That shouldn't stop him either.
No, that definitely should not stop him.
Trev.
So no, I don't. He'll get his shot. He'll be in San Diego playing. Maybe not this year, but
yeah. Trev wants us to talk about the hilarious upside of Adalberto Mondesi.
Adalberto.
I think I'm the highest guy on here on him. I don't know. We've all kind of begrudgingly embraced him, sort of like the counting stats are there, we don't believe anything else kind of thing.
Yep.
This was the wrong pod to, it's the wrong pod to ask about his upside because we all poo-poo him.
He could get 30-30, he could get 40-40, and he could also be Jonathan VR, 2016 Jonathan VR. So what do you, I mean... That swing and strike is icky.
Yeah, that's the big worry. I mean, the counting stats are going to be there, I think, just because of how he's ridiculously fast. And he's got some pop. So, I don't know. If you like your players like Buxton, there you go.
And we should just take a minute to apologize to all the Greg Garcia fans and Greg Garcia family out there. He is the... utility infielder for the San Diego Padres. So sorry for overlooking you, Mr. Garcia.
Sorry, Garcia.
I said what I said. I don't take it back.
There is no remorse for Greg Garcia.
As much disrespect as possible.
See? Exactly. Fantasy Stockwatch asked, who is next year's Paddock? Starts the season outside the MLB top 100 prospects, but potentially breaks camp. Was Paddock outside the top 100? I thought he was firmly inside it.
Nah, he might have been right around it.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at it right now.
Oh,
so let me just...
It. You know what? Hey, let's
look at Chris Paddock is 33.
Yeah, get out of here with that bad question.
Oh, a bad answer too for me.
Yeah, but hey, if the question is... Who is a guy who's in the minors that breaks camp that you don't expect to break camp? I'm going to go John Duplanter. Yeah, maybe people kind of expected to be there next year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Ooh, Cal good pick.
Quantrill.
Yeah, that was a service time joke. Cal Quantrill's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't have a guy right now. Sorry, listener.
Kevin Maiten.
Well, I thought we were talking about pitchers.
I don't know. It just said who's outside the top 100 but then breaks camp. Doesn't necessarily have to be a pitcher.
Well, he said Chris Paddock, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what Chris, well, I guess he was also wrong in what Chris Paddock did, but all right, whatever. What's his face? Yadier Alvarez.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
All right. Yeah. Truth asks, if you could keep two of Wander Franco, Alex Kirilloff, and Vidal Brujan, which would you choose? I would choose Franco and Brujan.
Franco.
Yeah, I'd say I'm on Adam's side for this one.
I mean, Kirilloff won our top pod spec, so what are you doing, Keaton?
Yeah, really.
Vidal Brujan should have won it. So
Wow. Somebody is salty as hell.
I don't even think he won his first round matchup, which is just a disgrace. But you guys are a bunch of Brujan haters out there.
It's Kirilloff. Don't listen to Keaton.
Jake asked us why we are the way we are. That's a great question. That's Jake Dev, by the way, our host who's taking a nap right now. Wants to know why we are the way we are.
Because we work hard, we care too much, and we feel too much, Jake. Which is more than you can say at this point. You bitch.
As much disrespect as possible.
As possible.
Beerbot asks us, Clark Schmidt or Joe Palumbo, who do you guys see as the better SP long term and why? Cheers. And a follow up from the Fantasy Stock Watch, Palumbo or Patino?
Patino.
Let me
answer. Oh yeah, by a mile.
Yeah.
No, well Clark Schmidt and Palumbo. First part of the answer, no. And the second part of the answer is why.
You know that we cater to the deepest of leagues here.
No.
So
no for no.
In a 60 team, 50 active roster guy, I think you're good going with Schmidt over Palumbo, and then Patino by a mile.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
This has been Dynasty's Child, part of the Dynasty Guru website. I have been your host, Keaton DeRocher. You can find all of us, the Dynasty Guru, where I have written, what did I just write about? Sleepers. I wrote about sleepers in my latest Keaton It Real. And we have ourselves, who the hell's up next? We just did Boston. Chicago?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, that'll be our next triple play, so you can look for that. Jake is talking about the Red Sox, at DevJake. You can find me at The Spoken Keats. Adam, what have you done? Were you part of this predictions week?
No.
Great.
I wasn't. I don't do predictions, but I would like to do something here really quick.
Okay.
All right. Hang on.
Hickory dickory dock. Patrick's a little bitch.
Can you hear that or no?
Yeah, apparently. I can hear it. Yeah.
I'll amp that up.
I have an announcement for this podcast.
Oh, what is it? Yeah.
So, for those of you who don't know, I have been kind of doing some podcasting over at Pitcher List for their Dynasty group, and I'm going to do a little bit of a crossover for both Dynasty Guru and Pitcher List. Last week, I was media credentialed for the entire season for the Durham Bulls. And I am going to go and interview AAA players. And the interviews will then go up on the Dynasty Guru and part of the Pitcher List podcasts. So as Keaton and Patrick tell me about Vidal Brujan and the next Chris Paddock, I will be going out and trying to interview them and asking them all sorts of really hostile questions. So that is me. That is my big announcement for this podcast. And then I'm also writing about the White Sox this week.
Sweet.
Production. Hey, can you... Look at you getting out there, putting the nose to the road or whatever the saying is. Love it.
Nose good for to you. The grindstone.
Yeah. So nose to the grind.
I'm just trying to talk to Clint Frazier coming up here.
Dope.
Oh yeah, do that please.
Big red rocket for Mr. Patrick.
Yeah. I love Clint Frazier.
Even Anthony though Banda said he would love to come on the pod, so you should talk to him.
So I gotta figure out a way to hit these guys up. Like, I don't know.
Try the DMs.
Outside of
people love DMs these days.
Yeah, Twitter is the way to go. But yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, congratulations, dude.
There's a lot of good stuff coming up here.
And you can be found at the Statcast Era.
Yeah.
So that's gonna do it. Have an awesome day.
Wait, what is Patrick working on?
Did I forget Patrick? I did forget Patrick.
Thanks a lot.
I was such a little bitch, I would have remembered him.
So oh, Patrick, my God. What have you done lately? Well, I have been hanging out with my brother, so I've missed out on a lot of stuff. I had family come visit me in China, and that was a blast. But I'll be working on that triple play life this week and tweeting tweets. That's about it. You can find me at the Green Magnus.
Sweet. So now that's going to do it. Have an awesome day. And as always, be the best bird dog you can be.
Change felt so right, so wrong. I'm gone, off in the night.